Hey, hello again. It's Miles McKee with the Gospel Truth Sunday broadcast. And I want to speak to you today about good news about the good news, or the gospel truth about the gospel truth. Either way you call it, it's okay with me. And so we're going to look for a few moments at the designations of the gospel, at some of them. And as I say, we're going to look for that good news about the good news. If ever there was a day and age in which we needed good news, it's this one, isn't it? Oh, and this is the day and age where we really need the gospel to be understood. I mean, really understood. Preachers, goodness sakes, how many preachers have I met who have told me that they preach the gospel? And then you go on to find out they don't preach the gospel. They open the Bible and read a few words and then get on with their own theories. Not gospel preachers. Look, gospel means good news. Isn't that something? Good news. Now, there's some preachers only preach about hell. Yeah, and they think that they're preaching the gospel when they preach about hell. Oh, by the way, I believe there's the lake of fire and there's the second death. I believe all that. But we're called to preach the gospel primarily. And imagine going up to somebody and says, I've got some gospel for you. I've got good news for you. You're going to hell. That's not good news. The good news is not about anything you do or can do or contribute. It's not about you. The good news is not about you. Hey, as Mike always calls it, Magaragara. I'm from Magara, which is in Northern Ireland. In Northern Ireland, growing up, we had a lot of folks called the Brethren. I think they're great. The Gospel Hall people, great, great fellowship with them. But there was a wee Gospel Hall preacher down in Belfast, and he would preach each week, each Sunday night. And he always preached about hell and damnation and wrath. And after several years of this, the elders of the various assemblies, they said, I don't like this. Can you not? And they called him John. Why did they call him John? Because his name was John. They said, John, my boy. Why don't you give us some good news? Well, what do you mean? He says, well, why not preach on good news? Give us, like, for example, John 3:16. Oh, well, fair enough. So the next Sunday night he came back and he says, our text tonight is John 3:16. Yes, John 3:16. Let's read it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him, should not perish. And let's pause there a moment at that word, perish. Yeah. Oh my goodness. Listen, we're called to preach good news, the gospel. And here's some designations of the gospel. First of all, it's the gospel of God. Why is it called the gospel of God? It's because he originated it. It comes from him. It doesn't come from man. Man didn't invent this. It's the gospel of God. How old is the gospel? I've asked you this before. How old is the gospel? Well, let me tell you, it's as old as God. That's how old it is. Ah, yes. And so, listen. We believe in hell, we believe in the second death, the lake of fire. But the good news is that God has done something about our predicament. He's come to this earth, he has paid for us, he's bought us. And now, what's left to do? Nothing. Trust him. Believe him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I just got to come on. Got to be something you can contribute. I'm a religious man. God's going to consider my good works. No. It's the good works of the Master, the Lord Jesus, will save us. We have the gospel of God. God is the source of this gospel. He invented the gospel. God thought it up. The good news came from the very heart of God, John 3:16. God so loved the world. The good news comes from his heart. It was God who loved us. And this was manifest, the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Where's that? That's 1 John 4:9. And while you're taking notes, take a note of this, 1 John 4:10. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son into the world to be a propitiation for our sins. Propitiation, that means a wrath offering, an offering which takes away the wrath of God. Sin has earned wrath, but Jesus Christ has exhausted that wrath for his people, and it's God's gospel. And he, because it's his gospel, he wants it kept pure. He doesn't want us to mix the law with it, or man's deeds with it, or religion with it. He wants it to be kept pure from all religious ceremonies. I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm going to show you how to break bread. Well, you might, but you might preach the gospel. Not you should preach the gospel in breaking of bread, but the actual act of breaking bread is not the gospel. No, the gospel is good news from God. It's good news about God. It's not from man. It's not about man. Did you hear me? It's not about man. The gospel is not about you. No, it's not about you. It's about Jesus. It's God's revelation of himself in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus. It's good news. The good news is that not only that God loves us, but that he has done something about our predicament. Isn't that wonderful? How are we doing? We're saved by grace. Brother Mike asked me at the beginning, how am I doing? I said, I'm flourishing. Flourishing. Why would I not be? Flourishing because he loves me. God loves me. And he's done something about my predicament. Hey, what about you? Have you received him by faith? Have you believed on him by faith? Have you embraced this truth for yourself that Christ has gone to this cross, died for sinners? Have you made this personal? Personal. Did you hear me? Another designation of the gospel is it's the gospel of his Son. Romans 1:9. Did I read you Romans 1:1 to show you it's the gospel of God? I don't think I did. It's the gospel of God. Romans 1:1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Hey, the gospel of God. And then in verse 9, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my Son, with my Spirit, in the gospel of his Son. Wow, there's that next definition or designation of the gospel. The gospel of his Son, Romans 1:9. You know, the thing is about Jesus, he didn't come merely to preach the gospel, but listen to me. He came so that there would be a gospel to preach. He is our gospel. Yeah. Everywhere he went, he was preaching the gospel. Well, you say, how did he preach the gospel? He did. He preached the gospel. Read it for yourself. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must I be lifted up. That's the gospel. He's talking about the cross. Talks about a seed dying and then coming back. That's Paul talking about himself. He went everywhere preaching the kingdom. Well, he is the kingdom, the government of God. He is the government of God. He is the Lord. The first apostolic creed was Jesus is Lord. He's in charge. Yeah. The great apostolic cry was, we preach Christ crucified. 1 Corinthians 1:2-3. We preach Christ crucified. It's good news that we preach. The gospel is good news to the weary soul. And so the apostolic cry was, we preach Christ crucified. There was a church years ago, and they built this new building, and they dedicated, and there was this cornerstone, and on the cornerstone it said, "We preach Christ crucified." It was carved into it. Well, through the years, the vegetation around it grew, and all that was left was, "We preach Christ." Well, what's wrong with that? Well, look, it's not enough to preach Christ. You've got to preach Christ crucified. There's people who say, "Oh, yeah, we preach the gospel. Yeah, we preach Christ. Do you preach the cross? And the necessity of the cross and the results of the cross and the person of the cross and the person who went to the cross. We preach Christ," they say. Well, look, there's people who preach Christ the good example, but that's not the gospel. By following his example, I mean, that's great if you can, but that's not going to save you. That's not going to get you to heaven. Well, more years passed by and more weeds grew up around the stone, and it simply said, "We preach." How many churches could take that stone? "We preach." Preach about anything. Preach about everything. I talked to a pastor one time. Well, I'll say what his name was. Well, he lived in the States. This was years ago. I said, "Brother Joe, what are you preaching tonight?" And he says, "I am going to preach a good gospel message on why women shouldn't wear lipstick." Oh, boy. That's a good gospel message. Thanks. That'll ring the doorbells of heaven. So it's not enough to preach the gospel. The gospel is not being preached if Christ and what he has done for us in history is not being exalted. If his work, if his person, his work, his offices, his doing, his dying, if these things are not preached, you're not preaching the gospel. Oh, yes. Oh, this is one preacher. I'm going to preach a good gospel sermon to my people and tell them how to live right. What's the title of your message? How to live right. That's no gospel message. How to live right. That's not a gospel message. It may be a good message. It may be well delivered. It may be well thought out. It may be good illustrations in it. But it's not a gospel message. There was an old preacher in the 1700s, an Englishman called John Burridge. And before he understood the gospel, he said that for a number of years before he was preaching, he wasn't saved, but he was preaching. And he said before he preached the gospel, he preached on morality, and he preached so much on morality that after a number of years, there wasn't one moral person left in his congregation. No, he wasn't preaching the gospel. You'll get morality by the gospel, through the gospel, as a result of the gospel. If you preach real gospel messages about the lovely Son of God who loved us and lived for us and died for us and rose again, oh, and he's interceding for us, and he's coming back for us. Isn't that wonderful? Boy, that will motivate you to live right. It really will. So today we have good news. Good news that comes from God. And good news about the Son. Who's the Son? That's God manifest in the flesh. The Lord Jesus Christ. This is a good day. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Wow. Are you looking for forgiveness of sins? Well, it's not a matter of trying harder. It's not a matter of turning over a new leaf. You could turn over a new leaf today and live perfectly for the rest of your days. But that's not going to get you to heaven. What would you do for the times that you weren't living perfectly before you turned over this new leaf? Now you'll not get forgiveness through yourself, but through Jesus, in him we have redemption. That means he's bought us through his blood. That's what he paid with. And we have the forgiveness of sins. Wow, have you received that redemption? Oh, why not? Trust the Lord. Give him yourself. Sue for peace and mercy. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus came to save sinners. Isn't that lovely? He came to save sinners. Therefore, you're not too hard a case. No, you're not too hard a case. Come to Jesus. Trust in Jesus. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Yeah, we've got the gospel of God, and we've got the gospel of his Son. And then we see in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek. So I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. There's another designation. The gospel of Christ. Isn't that lovely? Paul writes this to the church of Rome. He's not ashamed of the gospel, and he tells them in the Gospel of Rome that he's coming there to preach the gospel. Now, by the way, who's he preaching the gospel to? The church. Are the church saved people? Yes. Well, what's he doing preaching the gospel for if they're already saved? Well, that's exactly it. It's the church that needs the gospel. You'll never grow in grace without the gospel unless you're surrounded by the gospel. If you're not surrounded by the gospel, you'll be surrounded by preaching that's telling you to do this, do this, do. But that's not going to get you saved. Oh, no, Paul's going to preach them the gospel, going to preach to the church. He's going to preach it. Now, look, Rome, consider it. Think of it. Rome's a city of slaves. Oh, slavery is terrible. Yes, it is. So I take it he's going to go to Rome and he's going to preach against slavery. No, he's not going to preach against slavery. He's going to preach for Jesus Christ, the doing, the dying, the rising again of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to preach all about redemption. He's going to preach the great gospel truths. And we see them laid out in the book of Romans. Well, did you know that Rome in those days was a city of lust, just given over to lust? It was everywhere. Lust, bad living, lust, immorality, lust. So Paul says, well, I'm coming to you to preach social reform and morality. I'm going to preach moral reform. Moral reform. That's what'll do the job. No, he didn't say I'm going to preach against lust. But you know, when people came under the influence of the gospel, lust started to clear up. Yeah. Well, it was a city of lust. It was a city of war. It was always going to war. It was fitted out for war. There were more warmongers everywhere. But he says, I'm not going to Rome to preach against violence. Violence is terrible. And of course, it's true that justice and morality and social reform are all the byproducts of the gospel, byproducts of gospel preaching. But these things are not the gospel. And if you spend your time sitting under a minister who's always do this, do that, preaching social reform and not preaching Christ crucified, hey, start to pray for him. Start to pray for him. Start to pray that God would open up his eyes to see the gospel. Yeah. A great city, the city of Rome, and it was going to get the gospel. It's the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation. That means unto total deliverance. It's the gospel of Christ. Not just the gospel, it's the gospel of Christ, which gives us total deliverance. Christ, what's that mean? Well, it's the word Christos, and it means Messiah. And the Messiah was the anointed one and the appointed one, the appointed by the Father to bring in forgiveness and redemption and freedom from bondage and renewal of the Spirit of God. Oh, yes, Jesus is anointed and appointed by the Father to do these things, to bring them in for sinful men. So let me ask you, have you trusted him? Have you trusted him? Do you know him yet? His salvation is at hand. I'm just trying to do better, preacher. My brother might say, I'm just trying to do better and be more religious, and maybe then my situation will change. No, the good news of Christ is dynamite. It'll blow all your mountains away. You see those mountains? They'll be blown away by the gospel. But you've got to believe. Have you believed? He said, well, I'm not a good person. Yeah, we understand. That's why we're asking you, saying, come to the gospel. God commands it. Come just as you are. You don't have to change to come to Christ. He'll change you. He'll do the changing, but you come just as you are. Tell him that you're a sinner. Tell him that you've hard. It's hard to believe. Tell him. And if you know it, that you're a died in the world sinner and you don't deserve mercy. Whew. Hey, I'm like that. I have to go to him and be honest. And he's my savior. He's wonderful. But I've got to move on here. There's another wee designation I want to bring to you, and then we'll bring this to a close. Now, there's the gospel of God. There's the gospel of his son. There's the gospel of Christ. Now we're going to see there's the gospel of the grace of God. Now you can find that if you're taking notes. Acts chapter 20, verse 24, talks about to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. The grace of God. It's so called because there's no room for human merit. This is good news. Because it means we can stop trying to impress God. Oh, what a relief. We don't have to impress God anymore. He's already impressed with Jesus. And Jesus is our Savior, and Jesus has bought us, and we are placed into Jesus. Oh, it's wonderful. The gospel is good news of God's undeserved favor towards people who deserve the very opposite. Oh my, I deserve the opposite. You do too. None of us listening to this broadcast deserve grace, but he gives us grace. He gives us favor. He gives us acceptance. All in one man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if anybody who thinks that they can go to heaven by natural right, well, if you're here, you've not understood the holiness of God or the sinfulness of sin. Here would be a good exercise. Good exercise for everyone listening to me. Take a blank piece of paper and write down, I, and then leave a blank for your name, John Paul, John Smith, John White, I deserve hell. I, John Smith, deserve hell. I, Miles McKee, deserve hell. I, Mike Myers, deserve hell. And then right beside it, Jesus Christ took my hell. And there's nothing left for me but glory. So Jesus Christ took my hell. And there's nothing left for me but glory. And it's all because of grace. That's the last part. And it's all because of grace. Hey, Jesus loves me. And if you're a believer, I can safely say Jesus loves you. Hey, why don't you say to yourself, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jeez, talk to yourself. Jesus loves me. Talk to yourself. He went to the cross for me. Say that to yourself. He went to the cross for me. He loves me. He's loved me from all eternity. He knows every trick in the book that I have played. And he loves me. He loves me. Oh, that's what we mean. At least a little bit of it by preaching the gospel to ourselves. Yeah. But if you couldn't say that, you say, oh no, I've never really been a bad person. I don't need a savior. Yeah, you don't understand the holiness of God. And you don't understand the sinfulness of sin. Christ went to the cross and he became, listen to me, he became a curse for us. We're hell-deserving sinners, but he became a curse. Cursed is he that hangs on the tree. Wow. And as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. That's how much he loves us. Psalm 103, verse 12. Did you hear it? As far as the east is from the west. That's pretty far. So far has he removed our transgressions. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Our sins have been cleansed. Our sins have been forgiven. And listen to me, our sins have been forgotten. Did you hear me? Forgotten. Our sins have been forgotten, forgiven, and cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has done everything for us. There's nothing left to be done. It is finished. Will you rest in that? Will you trust in that? Oh. But surely, Brother McKee, surely there's something we can do. I mean, surely there's something we can contribute. Yeah. Here's what we contribute. Our sins. Yes. That's what we contribute. That's our total grand contribution. What was it? It's our life of hell-deserving sin. That's what I brought to this whole thing. That's what I brought to the table. But Jesus paid for me. He bought me at the cross. He poured out his blood. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. Can you say it? But make it personal. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquity. Oh, listen. Jesus has paid it all. There's an old song we sing. I haven't sung it for a while now, but Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Do you know that one? Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Don't give up your day job. I know, but listen, Jesus paid it all. But some of us think it really should say Jesus paid 90% and I gave another 10% and that made up 100%. But no, my friend, grace has paid 100% of our sins and our debt of sins. It's wonderful. Have you received it? Have you trusted Jesus? Look, if it's by grace, if salvation is by grace, it's by no more by works. No more by works. It's not a matter of, I did this. I went to church in Sunday. I'm a good boy. I'm going to be saved. Oh, I give money to the missionaries. I'm going to be saved. It's not a matter of you doing anything. Of course you'll give to the missionaries. Of course you'll attend the Sabbath service, the Sunday meeting, whatever it is. Of course you will when you're saved. But it's not to get saved. It's not to buy your way into heaven. Ah, yes. Law or works? Grace or works? Grace or works? Yeah. What do you say? That's very interesting, but surely you need both grace and works to be saved. Well, let me tell you this wee story. There were two theologians. And they were on a boat. They had an oarsman. They were on their way to fish out in this lake. And they were talking. And one theologian said, well, we're saved by grace. That's it. So we don't make any contribution. And the other one was saying, no. We need grace. Yes, of course we need grace. But we need works to confirm that we're, you can't be saved without works. Well, the boatman, he was listening to this. And he said, look, man, he said, could I have your attention? Good. I've been listening to your conversation about grace and works, and I want to show you something. You need the two oars. Look, you see, here's my right hand oar. And he takes the left hand oar out of the lake, out of the water, and he starts to row with the right hand. Yeah. He says, see what's happening? We're not going forward. No, we're going round, right in circles. Now watch this. He takes the right oar out of the water, and he puts the left oar back in the water, and he starts to row, row, row. And the boat, look at the boat, look at the boat. It's going round in circles, see? But he says, if I put the right oar and the left oar into the water and row, see, we're going straight to our destination, going straight to the shore. Oh, you say, that's brilliant. That's a good illustration. No, it's not. It's daft. It's a daft illustration. It's all right if you're talking about various things. But if you're saying that we need grace and works to get to heaven, you're daft. That's not right. Listen, it'd be all right if you're going to heaven in a rowboat, but you're not going to heaven in a rowboat. You're going there carried by the Lord Jesus Christ, by his doing, by his dying, by his resurrection. We are trusting completely on him, on him, on him. Did you hear that? On him alone. Oh, wow. It is God that is a work within us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Ah, yes, we're going to heaven, carried by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's grace, grace. Oh, yeah, we've seen the gospel of God. We've seen the gospel of his Son. We've seen the gospel of Christ and the gospel of grace. And that is the gospel truth. Could we just have a few moments? Just pray. Let me pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for those who are listening. If they are not saved, would you save them? Draw them to yourself. Let them see your need, their need of you. Let them understand their need of the gospel. Enable them to say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Lord, would you take those people, your children who listen to this broadcast, and encourage them with the gospel, encourage them with the finished work, encourage them through the doing and dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's his, in his name we pray.